Blog Talk Radio.
Fast 60 minutes of sports. Live now. Roll one. Check two. Here we go, y'all. 60 minutes with your host, Benny Moore. Benny Moore.
Benny Moore.
Benny Moore. Benny Moore. Fastest, 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 fastest. 60 minutes in sports. NFL, MLB, NBA. He likes to talk about them. Nah. All right now. Fast 60 sports on your waves right now. Get it in. 619-639-4747. Welcome to the fastest 60 minutes of sports with your host, Vinny Moore.
Ah, good morning, my children. One more and again. 11:01 for your morning, January 22nd, 2012. Welcome in to the fastest 60 minutes in sports. 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. A whole lot going on. Obviously, it is AFC-NFC Championship Sunday. So for the Ravens, the Patriots, for the Niners and Giants, this day means their seasons. And again, if you're a football head like myself, you can't wait to get it in this afternoon. I don't know what you're nibbling on today, but if you've got good weather and you can get outside and you can fire your grill up, hit that grill, man. Make you some good prawns, make you some good snackage, and enjoy this afternoon's NFL. It's going to be something special to behold. Just the pure numbers alone. Just the numbers alone would let you to believe that today's game should be really, really, really entertaining. It should be tight. There should be no blowouts. And again, for those of us who love to prognosticate, and I admit I am one of those, if there's going to be a blowout, it's going to happen up in Foxborough today if the Ravens defense does not get after Tom Brady. But that'll be one for the ages. We've got a whole lot of fun things to talk about. The NBA has things going on. Sad news from the world of college football. Today, the passing of Joe Paterno, head coach at Penn State. He dies after a brief battle with lung cancer at 85 years of age. We'll have some things to talk about where that's concerned as well. A myriad of fun things today. Again, my heart goes out to him and his family. I'll tell you this, his legacy will outweigh the scandal that currently is in place out there at College Station right now. So enough about that. Let's get down to the breakdown as we love to do anyway. We're going to start it off today with NBA basketball. Why? Because we're in Chicago and we've got the best record in the game. And, you know, and again, for those of you who know, I slammed the National Basketball Association during this whole lockout. Probably because I knew that the Bulls obviously were going to have a very good basketball team. And I just reminded me of the White Sox way back in the baseball strike when they were the best team in baseball and then the strike hit. And then everything came to a halt. You know, this was the season. That was the year I think the Giants had a third baseman, Matt Williams, that had over 40 home runs right before the strike. Frank Thomas was huge that year. The Sox were the team to beat. And then to find out the person behind the baseball strike back in the 90s was the White Sox owner, Jerry Reinsdorf. And I'm like shooting yourself in the foot. Anyway, speculation from the NBA. Let's get into that. First of all, should we do last night's scores? All right, fine. Let's run down last night's scoreboard, I guess. Where is last night's scoreboard? You guys have lost it on me. Where's my last night's scoreboard? Last night's score. Here we go. There it is. Thank you. The Hawks lay 121 on the Cavaliers, 121-94. Pistons a 94-91 winner over the Blazers. The Nuggets a 119-114 win over the Knicks. The Sixers, they finally lose a game to a Dwayne Wade-less Miami Heat team, 113-92. The Mavericks an 83-81 winner over the Hornets. The Chicago Bulls, again, 95-89 over the Charlotte Bobcats. The Thunder, 84-74 over the Nets. And the Rockets take care of a Tim Duncan-less Spurs team, 105-102. The Grizzlies are hot. Put up 128 on the Kings last night. The Jazz, 108-98 over the Timberwolves. That's your NBA scoreboard. But what's actually more important than even the scoreboard is the standings. And some of this may shock some of you guys. The Bulls are the best team in the conference. They're 15-3. And that may not surprise a lot of you. The second best team, the Miami Heat, 11-4. The third best team, the Orlando Magic, is also 11-4. Then you get the Atlanta Hawks. These are all teams that made the playoffs. Then you look up, and here's a Philadelphia 76ers team that's 11-5. And every possible analyst and every possible professional has said, Philadelphia's for real. 11-5. They're 7-1 at home. Again, after a brief loss last night, still the last 10, they're 7-3. Can the 76ers really think they're going to make some noise in the East with the big boys, the Bulls and the Heat, with decent teams like Atlanta lurking, Orlando with Dwight Howard lurking? It'll be fun to see. And there is such a disconnect right now. There are very few middle ground teams. No one is basically 8-8. No one, you know, no one's in that realm. You're either really, really good, 11-5, 15-3 as the Bulls are, or you're really bad, like Detroit is at 4-13, and Milwaukee is at 5-9. Charlotte's 3-13, Washington's 2-13. Just bad. Just bad. So I'm not quite sure exactly how this all will play itself out. I will tell you this. If you're an NBA head like I am, you've got to love the fact that your team's doing really, really well. And thank you, Stephanie. I see your message. Thank you. I appreciate that compliment. The young lady who's an avid mentor, fan, whatever you want to call it, just an awesome young lady, sends me a text message. I guess I sound pretty good. Thank you, dear. You are a sweetheart. And now that I know I can shout out to you because you can hear me, this is a beautiful thing. All right, fans. It is what it is in the National Basketball Association. We slide right from there to the world of the National Hockey League. Let's break this thing down. We've got some scores. We've got standings. You know, Chicago's a little spoiled right now only because their sports teams are really doing well. Again, the Bulls are 15-3, the number one team in the conference. The Blackhawks are the number one team, not only in the hearts of Chicago fans, but obviously in the NHL as well. Last night's NHL scoreboard looks like this. Rangers a 3-2 win over the Bruins. Flyers a 4-1 win over the Devils. The Canucks a 4-3 win over the Sharks. The Ducks a 2-1 win over the Senators. The Canadiens a 3-1 winner over the Maple Leafs. The Islanders 2-1 winners over the Hurricanes. The Red Wings a 3-2 winner over the Blue Jackets. Panthers a 4-3 winner over the Jets. Blackhawks take a slight step back last night, losing to the Predators in Nashville 5-2. They're still 20-14-6, again, best team in hockey. The Blues a 4-2 winner over the Sabres. The Lightning a 4-3 win over the Coyotes. The Wild a 5-2 winner over the Stars. The Flames 6-2 over the Oilers. The Avalanche 3-1 over the Kings. That is your NHL scoreboard from last night. Let's break down the standings. Why? Because it's 11:07 on your Sunday morning, and we basically can. The Rangers, 30-12, atop the Eastern Conference. Again, despite the little slide our lovely Blackhawks were on, sitting in the 5 seed, they are 29-14-6, only two games behind the Detroit Red Wings, who are atop the West at 32-15-1. So if you're a hockey fan, you've got to be a little excited. Your team's right in the middle of things, and it's going to be there basically all season long. Just way too much talent. Some of the young stars in the on the Blackhawks National Hockey League team just have really, really outplayed any expectations. So now let's get to the sad news, which, of course, is the death of Joe Paterno, who dies today. Well, again, mixed stories last night, today. We'll call it today for the sake of the information superhighway getting to everybody. Basically, the man lived 8 weeks past his last game of coaching a football game. Now, I want to give you a little parallel because some time ago, when I say some time ago, we're talking maybe the mid-'80s, early 80s, and I'm not exactly sure of the date, but Paul Bear Bryant used to coach Alabama for years, and right after he retired, 4 weeks after he coached his last football game, he too passes away. So for the essence of someone saying that something is my life, for Paul Bear Bryant and Joe Paterno, football truly was their life. Now, amid all the scandals and everything else that went on and all the maybe failures, these guys were men. They were human beings, and their legacy certainly will outweigh the scandals that unfortunately surrounded them near the ends of their days. For Joe Paterno, I will always be indebted for all the things that all the young men he put out of that particular program out of Penn State University that were great human beings that even speak to this day of the effect that he had on their lives. And again, I'll fight with anyone who wants to call me at 619-639-4747 regarding that. Yes, it didn't end well as well as you would have liked it to, but nonetheless, a done deal. So, 11:09 in your morning. I know I've got to take a break here at some point. I'm up against something, but no one's poking their finger at me, so we'll just get out of the way and do what we have to do. When we come back after the break, I want to share some of the Deion Sanders Hall of Fame speech with you. Also want to share some of the Shannon Sharpe stuff. This is just good stuff. And remember, we want to look back, if we can, at 2010, because as many of you know, 2010 football was great. You know, Green Bay coming from out of nowhere, winning a Super Bowl. I want to play 6 minutes of the 2010 season encapsulated into a six-minute clip. I want to share that with you, as well as get into the NFL playoffs for the day and have a little bit more fun. We're going to do all this in a little bit. Back in 30.
All your documents, photos, movies, and music at your fingertips all the time. That's the power of the cloud. That's the power of HP WebOS. HP, everybody on.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Family ready for high-definition TV is easy with Turbo HD by Dish Network. You get more TV for less money, including Disney's Channel HD with hit series Wizards of Waverly Place, Hannah Montana, and The Suite Life on Deck. With over 120 HD channels available now, there's something for everyone. And you'll love the savings. Packages start at just $24.99 a month. Call today and get HBO and Starz free for 3 months. To get Disney Channel HD today, call Dish Network.
Back on the ride, Fast 60 Minutes in Sports. Yours truly, Vinny Moore, at the helm. Most of you who follow college basketball, and again, we're going to go right on, keep on pressing on, are probably reeling from the events yesterday. Number one, Syracuse goes down. That's right, Syracuse falls to Notre Dame. And for those of you who are old enough to remember, years ago when UCLA was on that big 88-game winning streak, they went into a little place known as Notre Dame. Oh, my God. I can see John Shumate and the guys from Notre Dame upset Big Bill Walton and the big beast from UCLA, and it was the shock heard around the college basketball world because UCLA had fallen. Well, number one, the undefeated Syracuse Orange have fallen, and where? Notre Dame. So, if you're number one, that's the last place you want to go. It really is. That is the last place you want to have to visit if you're number one. Let's see. Guys, give me some information on yesterday's the fall. Syracuse number one run comes to an end, of course, at Notre Dame. This is written by Fortuna. It's written by Matt, right? Yeah, Matt's a good writer. All right, let's basically see if we can get some information out of this wonderful stuff. I want to share it with all you guys. 11:12 for your morning. The Montages stopped playing Friday night in the hotel, but something was still gnawing at Eric Atkins. Notre Dame coach Mike Bray showed his players a roughly five-minute video clip of the Irish's history game against, here we go, the number one-ranked team, the AP, the infamous snapping of the UCLA 88-game winning streak from 1974. The more recent knocking off of North Carolina nearly 25 years ago, 7-all and 6 in this building. Nearly 24 hours later, after seemingly most of the 9,149 in attendance rushed the Joyce Center floor to celebrate a game that was never really as close as its 67-58 final score would indicate. Atkins and the Irish were able to boast about another milestone for Mike Bray, this time because of a victory over a top-ranked and previously unbeaten Syracuse, which they led from start to finish. Well, I don't know if it gets much better than that. Nice job, Matt, on that story. Number one goes down. So what does this mean for the landscape of college basketball now? I mean, obviously, it's the regular season, and it's always fun when number one falls. It's always fun because you always wonder where your school now fits. Please understand that before this game, Syracuse was 19-0. All right? 19-0. And now you're sitting 19-1, which means number two, Kentucky, sitting at 70-1, will probably get the nod. Baylor, and I'm not sure why this reads as Baylor is undefeated. I thought Baylor lost to Kansas this week. They should be 70-1. Maybe this needs to be updated. Anyway, you're going to see probably Kentucky number one. I don't know if Baylor's going to hang around in the top five. We'll see. But it'll also mean that Duke will also climb. It'll also mean Missouri will climb. Ohio State, which everybody loves. This is the only – Ohio State and Kansas are the only three lost teams that can get this much love next to North Carolina. North Carolina, you understand, they had a really tough schedule. Michigan State, a really tough schedule in the door. Murray State is number 10 only because they're undefeated. That's the only reason. I don't know who they've even played that even gives them that much love. But Murray State, 18-0, currently, at least up and through the week of the 16th, ranked number 10 in the nation. And then you've got a three-loss Connecticut team, a three-loss Georgetown team, a three-loss Indiana team. And all of a sudden, way down in the bowels of this list, you see little tiny – I can't call them really tiny, but tiny in the fact that they're just young. Illinois is 15-3. So here come the Fighting Illini. So it's going to be a fun college basketball season. And all this stuff, of course, culminates with all the love that you get by the time you get to March Madness and the tournament seedings get set and who's going to get on the run, who's going to be hot. You know, for you Syracuse fans out there, not to fret. You're still going to be probably a number one seed. Kentucky's probably going to be a number one seed. Duke and Baylor, maybe Missouri are fighting for that other number one seed. The unique thing about college basketball is seeds are often less driven by your record and more driven by your strength of schedule. So even though North Carolina is 15-3, North Carolina gets hot. They could easily be a number one seed over a Kansas or an Ohio State. So a lot of fun's going to go on, obviously, in college basketball this year. So for you guys that love to follow it and love to chase it down, yeah, if it's an alma mater of yours, God bless you. That's a beautiful thing. It's an absolutely beautiful thing. So I need to have some fun. Guys, I need to have some fun. Now, let's see. Where are we at? I need to have some fun. It's 11:15 in the morning. We've done our snippet for the NBA. We've done our snippet for the NHL. I really don't want to talk baseball right now because all it's going to do is offend most of our baseball fans out there. Look, teams are moving players left and right. No one's really doing anything of any major significance. You know, if Manny Ramirez signs with someone, God bless you, we'll come on and with breaking news. But for right now, guys, there's nothing going on. You know, pitchers and catchers will report in February. The Cubs are going to be bad. The Sox will probably be somewhat more competitive than the Cubs. And there's not a lot to talk about within baseball except whether or not the Cubs can hold on to Matt Garza. And that would be big for their pitching staff. At least it'll allow them to be somewhat competitive. All right. I said earlier I wanted to share with you some of the snippets from the Shannon Sharpe and the Deion Sanders Hall of Fame messages. These are really, really – I mean, these are heartfelt moments. They're really, really – emotional, and again, on a day when we're going to talk, it's been the last half hour talking about the four teams in the NFL playoff situations today. This will kind of get you rooted and get you suited and booted, as we like to say. So let's start off with Deion Sanders. This is his Hall of Fame speech, about 10 minutes long. Just give a listen and hear how he talks about his relationship with his mom. Check this out.
Thank you. Lord, I thank you. Jesus, I love you. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here today. So, Lord, I thank you. So if you could bear with me, I'm going to run through a lot of thank yous because unfortunately, or fortunately, I played for five teams. It's not like I wanted to leave one, but I had to. So I got a lot of thank yous. Coach C, Coach David, Helen Capel. Coach Capel, who suffered a massive heart attack, and his excitement to get here was so vital in who I am, what I am, and where I am today. Coach Ron Hoover, my high school coach, for kicking me off the team my junior year, although I'm the starting quarterback. That taught me a valuable lesson. But to this day, I still wasn't insubordinate in that cafeteria. I promise you I wasn't. I don't know what that lady was talking about. She was. Coach Bobby Bowden, the best college football coach ever. Jimmy and Donna Calloway, I love you because you love me like I'm your own. Mickey and Diane Andrews, my defensive back coach at Florida State. Coach Andrews, where are you? You taught me everything. I love you. The two things that you taught me, I could be two persons at the same time. You would yell at us, scream at us. Then the time we get in the cafeteria, how's the family? How's everything going? And you blessed me. Also, you made me the punt returner that I am. Because you remember that drill that you had that you laid this mat out on the field and the punter would kick and everybody had to come and lay out and dive and try to block the punt. And I don't even dive in pools. I don't even do that. But the guy before me, right before me, dove, and the kicker kicked him and split his jaw wide open. And I said, Coach, I'll go back there and return these punts. So I want to thank you for allowing me to be that punt returner. Special people, Jason Phillips, who's the offensive coordinator at University of Houston. But when we went at it against each other in Atlanta on the scout team, he didn't have Sundays to play. He had Wednesdays and Thursdays, and he went at my
But we had a battle every day, and I love you, Jay Feel, for that. The Snoop D-O-double-G. Thank you for coming, my man. Cube, where you at? Cube, I've been loving you since the early 90s, baby. Thank you. Jerry Jones taught me so much about family, taught me so much about business, taught me a lot about life. Do you understand this is the Hall of Fame? I grew up on some of you guys. I couldn't wait to just get a glimpse of that television and some of you guys to play against the Marinos, to play against the Montanans. Troy Aikman, man, Emmitt Smith, Mike Irvin, are you kidding me? Jerry Rice, Steve Young, I got to play with. This game taught me how to be a man. This game taught me if I get knocked down, I got to get my butt back up again. This game taught me that some things in life you can't do too prematurely. In football, they call it offsides, and life is just life. Throughout this game, I've lost some people, but throughout this game, I've gained five wonderful, beautiful kids. DeAndre, Deion Jr., Shiloh, Shador, Shalomai, with all my team's jerseys on, I love you. Thank you, babies. This game, I appreciate this game so much because I thought about it as a child. I wanted to do it, and they told me that we would get compensated and paid for a game that I always loved. And I hear so many people say, I would do this for free. I would too, as long as you're doing it for free. So I admire this game. I like this game. It taught me how to be a man. It taught me how to get up. It taught me how to live and play with pain, this game. This game taught me so much about people. It taught me so much about timing. It taught me so much about focus, dedication, submitting oneself, and sacrifices. This game. And I went at this game, and I attacked this game because I made a promise that I needed this game to fulfill. And I said, Mama, because I was tired of seeing her go to work and come home all tired. I said, I'm going to be rich one day. Mama, I'm going to make a lot of money. And you will never have to work another day of your life. My mama said, that's fine, but until then, you get that lawnmower and go out there and cut that grass. It's something inside of me, Mama, that I never told you, that I never could admit, and I'm going to share it with all of you because now we're family. I played for a youth team called the Fort Myers Rebels, and they blessed me. They took me all over the country to play and expose me to things, expose you to things. And everybody on their team, their parents owned something, and their parents were doctors or lawyers or the chief of police. It was that type of organization. Me and one of my friends were the only African-American kids that was on that team, and it was a very affluent team, and I was ashamed of my mama. Because my mama worked in the hospital. She cleaned up the hospital. She pushed the cart. And I was ashamed of my mama, who sacrificed, who loved me, who protected me, who gave me everything I want to make sure I was best dressed in school. And I had everything that was late that came out. I had it first. I was ashamed of my mama. Because one of my friends in high school, he saw her in a hospital one night pushing a cart, and he came back and he clowned me. He ridiculed me and he mocked me because of my mom. So I made a pledge to myself that I don't care what it takes. I don't care what it may take. I'm not going to do anything illegal. But my mama would never have to work another day of her life. I created this image, this thing that you could imagine. You could love him or hate him, but he was prime time. I would pre-rehearse the quotes. I would pre-rehearse the sayings because I knew I had the substance. I knew I had the goods. I knew I had the work ethic. But I needed to secure myself enough that my mama would never have to work another day of her life. So throughout my whole career, I understood there were going to be stones. Because when you make it a difference, it's going to be haters. When you provoke and change, it's going to be naysayers. People don't condone what they've never seen. And some of the stuff I tried to do, they had never seen. But when you talked about me, media, guess what? Behind you, I saw my mama. When you wrote about me, when you naysayed me, when you criticized me, I saw right through your papers, right through your TV, and I saw my mama. When you told me what I couldn't do, when you told me what I didn't do, when you told me what I would never be, I saw my mama pushing that cart. When you told me I was too small, I wasn't educated enough, I saw my mama. I don't know if you figured it out by now, but I just gave you prime. I just gave you the formula and who is really standing before you. Because I was trick-or-treating, and it wasn't even Halloween. Because all the things you really thought I was, and some of the things you didn't like, you didn't love, you didn't want to accept, I was doing it for my mama. I will leave you with this. Hall of Famers, I am so privileged and so thankful to be amongst you. I thank you. I love you. Hall of Fame, I tell you what, I don't know what's going on in the other tents, but Snoop, Nelly, Cube, you're going to do something. We about to go tear this thing up. I appreciate you. I got one final thing because I like him, but something's missing.
And for those of you that can only hear that, obviously, through the web, what Deion is doing is he's taking the blue bandana.
Thank you, and God bless.
11:28, 11:29, 11:30, depending on whether or not your clock is actually right or not, on your Sunday morning, January 22nd. Back with more after this.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton green tea. Let's hear what people from Texas have to say.
Mm-mm.
How about China?
Mm.
Germany?
Mm.
How about people from the North Pole?
Mm.
Or Mars?
It,
what about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut?
Oh.
Yeah, a barbershop quartet.
Mm.
Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers?
Mm.
It, what about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip?
Mm.
That settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton green tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's mmm to you. Lipton tea can do that.
You're listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports.
It's the Subway Steak and Cheese Sub, hearty Italian bread.
With a bit more onion on it, please.
It's the steak and cheese on hearty Italian bread, but now with a bit of onion on it. Sub. Succulent steak, gently drizzled with...
Maybe a bit more.
Okay, totally loaded with Southwest sauce.
On some of those pepper thingies.
Okay, get ready. So really massively lovely steaky cheese thing, and yes, I'm starting panic here. So only 8 seconds of airtime left, and by pepper thingies, I guess you're meaning jalapenos. Sub. Available at Subway.
Can I...
With olive. Feel good food, made the way you want it. We've got a sub for that.
Wake up, Leona! This decrepit Hooverville is infested with something besides idiots.
Oh, my, my, my. Welcome back to The Ride. The fastest 60 minutes of sports, yours truly, Vinny Moore, on The Ride. So you got a chance to hear Dion's speech. I'm going to set aside a little bit of the Shannon Sharp Hall of Fame speech for you in a little bit. We've had a great time during this regular NFL season, prognosticating, giving you games, giving you VIN picks all year long. We've had so much fun. And someone actually asked me if I would replay, I think I said week 11 of the VIN picks. Now, it isn't that the picks are even remotely relevant. It's that we interjected so many different fun snippets and lines into the whole piece. Now, I don't know if we're going to get a chance to play it today. You know, we'll see if there's if time allows us to do so. But that was just a lot of fun. Lots and lots of fun. So, as always, we do something courtesy of our friends, whether it's from ESPN or from HBO or from Showtime. We played it throughout the year, and you guys keep clamoring for it as again. So, by popular demand, 11:31 on your Sunday morning, here is the Showtime iteration, courtesy of DJ Steve Harris, I believe that's right. You play to win the game, courtesy of Herm Edwards and our friends at Showtime.
You know, but as a series of popular beer commercials ably demonstrates, not every head coach basks in the goodwill after the game. Courtesy of YouTube sensation DJ Steve Porter, here's our spin on...
You play to win the game.
That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. You don't play to win. When you start telling me, it doesn't matter. Do it tight. Get out.
We couldn't do diddly poo. Offensively, we couldn't make a push down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We sucked. We sucked.
You play to win the game. That's better. You don't play to just play it.
You perform like that.
You don't play to win. Okay. When you start telling me,
we suck.
It doesn't matter. Do it tight.
Get off the players' backs. I'm responsible for the whole thing. I'm responsible for the whole thing. Okay?
The Bears are who we thought they were. That's why we took the damn field. If you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. So we let them off the hook.
I told you what I'm going to do now. Now you want to know what I'm going to do. Think I'm contingency of that. Some contingency of that. Want to know what I'm going to do. And I'm contingency of that. All of which are hypothetical.
I'm a coach of the team. I was out
who's hitting, who's playing.
I was out who plays, when they play, where they play.
That's why we took the damn field. Damn field. That's why we took the damn field.
What next?
You play to win the game.
I want winners.
You don't play to just play it.
I want people that want to win. This is how I believe, okay? I'm from the old school. Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth, number one. Number two, we cannot give them the game. Number three,
hello?
We suck. I tell you the truth.
Right now, that person is not sold out to be part of this team. Cannot play with them.
You play to win the game.
Cannot win with them.
Playoffs.
Hello?
Cannot coach with them.
That is so much crap.
Can't do it.
You play to win.
You don't know what we're trying to do. You guys don't look at the films. You don't know what happened. You really don't know. You think you know, but you really don't know. And you never will.
I'm getting on the damn with everybody, each and every one of y'all, hammering my tail. I don't coach that way. I don't coach him to do that type of thing.
See, I got your eyes killed, buddy.
I don't coach that way.
See, I got your eyes killed, buddy.
Zero.
I don't really care. I gotta tell you the truth.
I know I'm smarter than that.
You play to win the game.
Playoffs.
You don't play to just play it. You don't play to win. You start helping me, it doesn't matter. Then the top. Get out.
Yesterday's yesterday. Today's today. Tomorrow'll be tomorrow.
Playoffs?
Thanks, Coach.
too much fun. You play to win the game. Only on the fastest. I think it's become one of our exclusives now because you can find it on YouTube, but you only get to actually hear it here where it's easy. You just chill it because it's part of the show. Anyway, today, again, NFC, AFC championship football games today. Let's get into this now. It's 11:35 for your morning. So 25-25 to run in the show. Want to run down some things that I guess are just going to be kind of poignant and give you a prediction of what I kind of expect to see today. So here you go. Only three games remain as the clock on the NFL's 2012 postseason basically moves towards what we hope, obviously, is a dramatic finish. Four teams in the hunt for the Vince Lombardi Trophy, which, again, will be decided on the first weekend in February. And uniquely enough, there really is no clear-cut favorite in the public's eye. Any of these teams can come away with the wins necessary to win this championship. But before there's any talk of Super Bowl trophies and parades, you must have an AFC and NFC championship games. You'd probably flip a coin or just pick the home teams for this week and have a better chance of picking the winners than I will breaking down these teams. But we'll give it a try anyway. Check this out. Vegas puts the Ravens, puts the Patriots at the top of the 14 pile. This is confidence picks to win the Super Bowl with break even odds. And names even a 7-point favorite going into their rematch with the Ravens today. Just 2 years ago, the Ravens put a hurting on Tom Brady and Bill Belichick's dreams of a fourth championship. I don't care what the two say about forgetting the past. That game is fresh in everyone's minds as we move closer to game time today. It's probably better that Belichick does remember his butt kicking in the 2010 NFL playoffs. The memory might serve as motivation to get out and get the job done today. It's high-powered offense versus dominating defense in the AFC. So which one's going to bend or break first? The Patriots are on an incredible win streak, one that makes Tim Tebow look like child's play, and they're not looking to slow down anytime soon. The Ravens have lived out a week of name-calling and fake scuffles on their way to what should be the biggest game, at least in Ray Lewis's and Terrell Suggs' career. Now, Ray Lewis has a championship. He got that in 2000. Suggs wasn't on that squad, so this is important to him. This is a big deal. I believe Ed Reed, I don't know if Ed Reed was on that team or not. I'll have to look that up. Anyway, no matter what these teammates say about each other or don't, the Ravens team is about to realize that it should have been focusing more on its game plan in the locker room than its smack talk in front of the camera. Brady is playing too well for the Flacco-led Ravens offense to keep up with him. And meanwhile, the Patriots defense is actually getting better. Now, the 31st ranked overall defense in the regular season made a team that was capable of trouncing the number one overall defense into a junior varsity cheerleading squad just last week. Flacco has managed to bring his team to the second round of the playoffs or further in each of his first four seasons in the league. That by itself is impressive. But his championship season is yet to come. The Patriots are too fired up, too focused, and just a little bit too powerful to be stopped right now. As much as I would love to see Ray Ray and the boys get there, I got to go with New England 31-24 in what ought to be an amazingly talented, and I say an amazingly entertaining game. And I say this tongue-in-cheek, don't be surprised if you see the Ravens flying around early in the game, hitting Brady, knocking him down. Do not be surprised if you see a Haloti Ngata or a Ray Lewis hit Brady after the play and take a 15-yard roughing the passer. Obviously, the Ravens' intention is to get into Brady's head, let him know that we're here to dominate, we're here to knock you down, yeah, and upside down, and laugh when we've conquered and won. But here's the problem. When your defense is on the field, as long as I think the Ravens may be, and Brady and those Patriots start putting together those long drives, and guys like Wes Welker and Aaron Hernandez and Gronkowski and Deion Branch, and then you have a Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, start getting their hands on the ball, and the drive is now 7 plays, 9 plays, 10 plays, 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes. What happens to a defense is it starts to get tired. And by the fourth quarter, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis' 3-yard runs will become 8 and 9-yard runs. Then Brady will start those seam routes with Gronkowski and Hernandez. I don't know how you stop those tight ends in New England. I mean, besides the Chicago Bears, who never really learned how to use their tight ends, how do you stop 6'8", 6'9" tight ends that can run like gazelles, get down deep in behind the behind your linebackers in those soft areas of the defense, and Brady, they're just too big, too talented. And again, if you've got 6'5" corners, fine, but the corners you're going to face today are 5'10", 5'11", maybe some 6 feet. Yes, they're athletic. Yes, they can jump. but they're not jumping 40 and some odd inches in the air. And the reality is Brady's simply going to toss over their heads. There'll be three-step drops from New England. They're going to get the ball out, and the reality is the Patriots may just have the right set of weaponry to take care of the Ravens today. Will the Ravens be there on defense? Absolutely. This will be a hard-knock game. If the Ravens are to pull off the upset today, it will be because Joe Flacco has found his mojo with Torrey Smith deep. It will be because the 31st ranked defense comes back to New England's, unfortunately, you know, the resounding thud, if that happens. And guys like Ray Rice get off to a huge start. If Ray Rice has over 100 yards in the first half, the Patriots could be in serious trouble. I don't see that happening today. I see a very, very hard-fought game, but in the end, I think Tom Brady and those weapons just prevail. And you see Ravens go home a little sad, but knowing they were in a fight, and the Patriots moving on to the Super Bowl. In the NFC, the New York Giants, the New York football Giants, they love to call it, against the San Francisco 49ers. And I thought it was going to be hard to pick the winner of this game. This one has drama all over it. The 49ers were actually an underdog as the number two seed last week playing at home against the Saints. Well, again, that was Drew Brees, and that team looked like a juggernaut. 1 week later, and the Saints are watching from their couches as the 49ers host another team full of firepower on their home field, here come the New York football Giants into Candlestick Park, having played what was essentially four consecutive playoff games. After a 6-6 start, the Giants and the quasi-elite quarterback Eli Manning have put a run together comparable to that of the Patriots. Eli throws for 400 yards a game frequently, and his receivers are doing everything in their power to reenact the heroics of the David Tyree catch in the Super Bowl. What was that, 42? In 2000? No, not 30. What was that? The Super Bowl in 2007. Thank you. They had to beat the Jets in a crosstown game that failed to live up to any one of its potential. They needed to take down Dallas in a battle of the NFC East and a trip just to get to the 2012 NFL playoffs. They had to keep Matt Ryan from earning his first career win in the postseason. And finally, David, better known as Eli, had to sling down Goliath, Aaron Rodgers, in one of the biggest upsets of the season just 1 week ago. The Giants have proved that they have what it takes to do everything necessary for another championship. They'll need to keep up their winning ways against a Niners team that doesn't allow lots of heroics on the field. San Francisco and Coach Jim Harbaugh have turned a quarterback with a career losing record, a former number one pick overall, and a team that's long since forgotten its glory days in the mid-90s into a powerhouse juggernaut of a team and a number two seed. The defense is stout, its offense is well-managed, and its players well-coached. San Francisco has all the basic elements of a championship squad. Before last week, I would have said the one thing that lacked was the big playmaker. But as we saw last week, Vernon Davis has successfully zipped me shut on that one. Can the 49ers use a stifling defense prowess to take a previously underachieving game manager quarterback to the Super Bowl? I originally was going to say, sorry, San Fran, not this year. The more I think about it, the Giants are a great football team. Eli playing at a quasi level could easily have competed for MVP this year against Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees. As much as I would love to see the rematch of one of the greatest Super Bowl upsets in history, meaning the Giants when they beat the Patriots a couple of years ago, I got a funny feeling San Francisco is going to shock the world today. So even though the original prognostication might have said Giants 27, Niners 17, I got a funny feeling, as we saw last week when Alex Smith started finding Vernon Davis in two 80-yard drives in the last 4 minutes, that the Niners may shock the world today. Jim Harbaugh loves to say, who's got it better than us? Well, guess what? Maybe no one does. So let's shock the world. The 49ers shocked the Giants in an awesome football game, 27-24. And who's the MVP of the game? It's not Frank Gore. It's not Justin Smith on defense. It's not Patrick Willis. It is Alex Smith, who will find either Crabtree or Vernon Davis late for the winning touchdown. The Niners shock the world. Now, next week we'll talk about, obviously, I won't call it garbage, that is the Pro Bowl, but I will tell you this. Next week we'll talk about all the preps once we know who those two squads are going into the Super Bowl, and we're going to have some fun with those as well. Some fun little sound effects and all kinds of other fun things. All right, I promise you two things. One, you've got to hear the brand new 'Twas the Night Before the Super Bowl, starring me. And you've also got to check out some of the Shannon Sharp Hall of Fame stuff. So let's get to the Shannon Sharp right now. Why? Because I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it, and that is our mission statement all every week. So for a couple of minutes, let's check out Shannon Sharpe. Now, again, this one's strong. Again, talks about family, very emotional. Check out Shannon Sharpe's Hall of Fame speech.
My big brother Sterling, I'm the only player of 267 men that's walked through this building to my left that can honestly say this. I'm the only pro football player that's in the Hall of Fame, and I'm the second best player in my own family. Fate had dealt you a different hand. There's no question. There's absolutely no question in my mind. We would have been the first brothers to be elected to the Hall of Fame. The 44 men and women that I thanked and congratulated early for giving me and bestowing this prestigious honor upon me, all I do is ask. All I can do is ask in the most humblest way I know how, is that the next time you go into that room or you start making a list, look at Sterling Sharpe's accomplishments for a 7-year period of the guys that's in the Hall of Fame at the receiver position and the guys that have the potential to be in this building. That's all I ask. I don't say, hey, just do that. The next time you go in that room, think about Sterling Sharpe's number for 7 years. That's all I ask. Sterling, you're my hero, my father figure, my role model. You taught me everything I know about sports and a lot about life. I never once lived in your shadow. I embraced it. I think this is where I start to get emotional. My granny. See, the guy that did this bust here, he went to school for that. He's trained to bring clay to life with his hands. It's my turn to bring Mary Porter to life with my voice. It's time for me to give Mary Porter a face. For all those that don't know who she is, it's my turn now. What do you say about a person that gives you everything but life? How do you start to say thank you, Granny, for a woman that raises 9 of her kids and your mom's 3, and she sacrificed more for her grands than she did her own? You see, my grandmother was a very simple woman. She didn't want a whole lot. My grandmother wanted to go to church and Sunday school every Sunday. She wanted to be in Bible study every Wednesday. And the other day, she wanted to be in a fishing creek. It was my brothers and I's job to make sure she can do that for the remaining days of her life. The only regret that I have in my 43 years that I never told my grandmother just how much she mean to me. See, my grandmother and grandfather, they raised me, and I hung on everything they say, but they didn't know it. I can tell you every time that my grandmother's ever been upset at me, I can tell you why. My brother never knew that everything he said, that I hung on it. I wanted to be so much like my brother that when I went to college, my brother's first college girlfriend, my first college girlfriend looked exactly like his. And the one story I want to leave you with to tell you why I became this person. When I was 12 years old, I told my mom, I said, Mom, I'm going to have some money one day, and I'm going to buy you a Mercedes, and I did. When I came and I asked my grandmother, I said, Granny, what do you want? She always called me her baby. She never called me by my name. So you want me to buy you a car and teach you how to drive? She said, no, son, I don't want that. I said, Granny, do you want jewelry? She said, no, son, I don't want that. She said, son, I want a decent house. And I'm thinking, I said, well, my grandmother wants 7,000-8,000 square feet. But then I know my grandmother, knowing her like I know her, after pausing for 5 or 6 minutes, I said, Granny, what is a decent home? And I remember it like yesterday, and it was 30 plus years ago. She said, son, I want a decent home. And her words verbatim is, she said, son, I want to go to bed one night. And she said, I want God to let it rain as hard as he possibly can. And I want him to let it rain all night long. And she said, I want to wake up and not be wet. That's a decent home for my grandmother. That's all she wanted. See, for 66 years, my grandmother never went to bed and had it rain and not be wet the next morning. See, I remember those days of putting the plastic coats on the bed. And I'm going to date myself, the croaker sacks, but now we call them burlap bags. I remember that. I remember putting the pots and pans on the floor to catch the rainwater, the very pots and pans that we're going to cook in the next day. I remember that. It broke my heart that my grandmother, all she wanted, she got two grandboys that's making $1 million, and she wanted a house that wouldn't leak. That's all she wanted. That's all my grandmother wanted. For two boys that's making millions, and all you want is a decent house, you want to go to bed and not get wet when you wake up. That's what drove Shannon. That's what got me here. See, my grandmother, if you give your man a word, you give a man your word, you do what you say you're going to do. See, when my grandfather died, I missed one day. I missed the day of the funeral. My grandmother didn't believe in that. If you promise somebody you're going to do something, you do it. And as my grandmother was laying in that casket on Saturday morning, I walked over to her. And I asked her two things. I said, Granny, am I the man you thought I would be when you got on the train and you came to Chicago and got me at 3 months? Am I the man you thought I would be? And I stood there for about 20 seconds, and I can see her smiling. And then I asked her, are you proud? I said, Granny, are you proud of your baby? Because everything I've done in my life, I've tried to please you. I know my grandmother's proud. I know my family's proud. This day means so much to me, because I get to share it with that guy right there.
That is Shannon Sharp on the Davis Hall of Fame speech. Emotional stuff. We'll be back to wrap this up and share towards the night before the Super Bowl with you right after this.
We've all dreamed of going back in time, stepping into a machine and going back hundreds of years. Well, there is a place where time travel is possible. The Henry Ford, America's greatest history attraction. Here, time travel happens every day. Here, we spend time with famous inventors and the ordinary people who prove they could do extraordinary things. We can read the textbooks, we can look it up online. But history is more than where we've been. It's how we got to be who we are. Here, we can touch it, walk around in it, relive it. Let's watch history come alive at Greenfield Village. Marvel at the magic of invention at Henry Ford Museum. Or take a first-hand journey through American genius on the Ford Rouge factory tour. So let's take a step back in time, because knowing where we come from is pure Michigan. Your trip begins at Michigan.org.
You're listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports.
Five minutes left on the ride. Just a reminder for those of you who will be getting ready for your AFC and NFC games. I believe, and we should probably verify that because it would probably be the prudent thing to do, that the AFC game is first, which is probably around believe it says 2 o'clock Eastern Time, which would be 1 o'clock Central. If that is the case, the AFC game will be found on your CBS affiliate, Channel 2, out here in the Chicago market. If it is the Fox broadcast, it'll be the NFC game, and that can be found on Channel 32 for those of you who don't have Fox or don't have cable, per se. And if you've got DirecTV or Dish, find whatever your Fox affiliate is, and you'll be able to catch all that action today. For you basketball heads, I believe there's a big-time Miami Heat game on later on tonight, so be sure you check that out. 5 minutes and counting it down. Now, I promise you, and again, I got to – well, let me kind of set this up as best I can in these last few minutes of today's show. First and foremost, Leona, family, love you, as always, and there's nothing you can do about it. To all the people out there who follow the fastest 60 minutes in sports every single week, I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. To all those of you who support and have kind of known what's going on with me personally over the last 6-7 months, thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. And for those of you who don't, that are just kind of checking out the show maybe for the first time, I'll give you the short version. I do a tremendous amount of media work. I do a tremendous amount of voiceover work. I also do a significant amount of software, Java work, things of that nature. I love software. That's kind of a passion of mine. And somewhere along the line, someone threw, in my cotton balls of great things in my world, someone threw a big prune in the midst of all that. And it began to be kind of a testament of my own personal faith to find a fight through some of those challenges that these two people were kind of creating. And I know we're not always going to see eye to eye. People have varying degrees. They have differences, and that's understandable. It is, however, how you deal with, how you approach things. And a lot of times it's how you rebound from maybe someone else's perspective or someone else's personal despair that they're trying to impose or impart onto you. And it's how you kind of bounce back from that. And I'm very, very thankful. I'm very, very fortunate. I'm very, very blessed to have, I guess, the mindset by the grace of God to bounce back from those things. And I would tell any and every last one of you, it's rough out here today. It's a rough economically, and for those of you that have struggled to find jobs, it's a big-time challenge. But I would implore you not to lose faith, to hold on to the promises of the big man upstairs. He's got you. He's got you. Please understand, he's got you, okay? I know favor's not fair. And when it comes in, again, the gracious hand of God, this is something I've actually been preaching for a long time now, the gracious hand of God is all over your life. It really, really is. So please hold on to his promises, hold on to hope, and you're going to have a great time. Now, because I've eaten up more time than I should have doing that, I promise you, 'twas the night before the Super Bowl. This is brand new. Check it out. 'Twas the night before the Super Bowl when all through the NFL, 30 teams weren't speaking, dare a fine from Roger Goodell. The Steelers were handling Big Ben with care because losing him for next year, you'd better not dare. Peyton Manning was nestled all snug in his bed as visions of the first-round pick danced in his head. Matt Ryan was sleeping and Drew Brees the same as they sadly prepared to watch the big game. When up in Green Bay there arose such a clatter, how'd we go 15-1 and now it doesn't matter? Away to my remote I flew like a flash, my Tim Tebow fever had turned into a rash. The look on the face of the new fallen Tebow made us wonder again, does this guy really just blow? When what to my wondering eyes should appear but the New York Jets, a title contender, I hear? Coach Baia twin brothers, so large but not quick, a guy who was surprised by each Mark Sanchez pick. More rapid than ever, his curses they came as he yelled and he screamed and he called the Giants names. Screw Eli, screw Victor, screw Bradshaw and Coughlin, screw Pierre Paul, screw Webster, go yourself, Brandon. My team is the best except for throwing the ball, so my predictions look stupid, everyone and all. As the Dolphins must do now that the season is done, they hired the guy from Green Bay just to create some fun. So off to a stunning start Miami flew with visions of Reggie, Matt Moore, and the crew. Jay Cutler went down while the Bears were still hot, and Chicago found out that Caleb's run meant playoffs not. From 7-3 to 8-8, we'll fire Jerry Angelo because we still think Lovie is great. Roma has dressed his hand in a wrap. Not that it mattered, because except for the Giants, the NFC East is crap. Each team in the division deserves to be the back of the class. Quarterbacks can't get rid of the ball, and wideouts simply can't catch a pass. Andy Dalton's eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his red hair more cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow. In his way, he's as good as the Cam Newton show. The stump of a marker Andy Reid held tight in his teeth, and ideas for bubble screens circled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a massive round belly, yet he rarely did laugh because the Dream Team was smelly. The roster was expensive and plump like a Dan Snyder production, and we laughed when they lost thanks to the myriad dysfunction. But with a wink of Reed's eye and a twist of his head, we knew he no longer had his firing to dread.
And we're going to have to stop it there. 13 seconds in the show. Thank you all for joining us all again. Thank you for listening to the Fast 6 Minute Sports. We will see you again 1 week from today, only on the fastest 60 minutes in sports. God bless you. Enjoy the playoffs. We'll see you next week.